to the Disky Chicks podcast for business leaders and those interested in learning how to use the DISC assessment to grow self-awareness, improve communications, and develop leaders and teams. Please welcome your hosts, business coaches Martha Forlines and Cindy Jacoby. They are loud and proud about all things DISC.
Thanks, Roger. Hi, everybody. Welcome to season 6 of the Disky Chicks podcast. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Disky Chicks. Today, we are kicking off part 3 of our employee life cycle project. One thing that Martha and I talked about earlier this year was that we could take this one assessment and take it through the whole employee life cycle. So that's what we've been doing the last couple of episodes. And we're on week 3, but let's just do, you want to do a quick recap of 1 and 2?
I think it would be good for catch up.
Okay. Yeah. But you're welcome to go back and listen to it. But just so you know where we are, we talk about the assessment that we are using in this example all the way through is called the Trimetrics DNA. It's not a blood test, but Trimetrics DNA indicates that there's three parts of the assessment: the Disky Chicks, driving forces. We talk about a lot. That's, you know, why you do what you do. And the third one is called competencies or soft skills. These, unlike your DISC and motivators, these are acquired skills. These can be learned, where DISC and drive forces are kind of, you are who you are. So that's the assessment we're looking at. There's three parts. Martha, why don't you catch us up a little bit on, you know, how we used it at the very beginning when we decide there's a job we want to fill. How do we use this same assessment?
Right. And this category that we talked about was around attraction and acquiring new employees. And we gave you examples of the job benchmarking process and how this Trimetrics DNA is such a valuable tool. And there's a whole process that you can listen to in that particular podcast about the job benchmarking, because we're not going to the leaders to identify the job. We're going to the workers that actually are subject matter experts in doing the job. And what this enables, the enabler of this, is it gives you all the reason this job even exists. Mm-hmm. And really, you're able to take that information and build a job description. And from the job description, you can build your ads that you need to put out there to attract clients that will be a best, better fit for this particular role. So that's all around attraction and really getting the right people to respond to you.
And I think the biggest takeaway for me on this is that once you go through this process, you are building this job description and this job profile for this job at this company. It's not just grab one off the internet, because cultures are different, and we take all these things into account of what this job really needs. And so that's how we build a job description, how we build a job profile, which leads us, like Martha said, to a job description and to a job ad. And so from there, it's off to try to find, you know, we have this great ad. And so now we're trying to get some folks in. The second part of last month's episode was all about kind of interviewing and selecting. So we have this great profile. It's attracting all these people. Then what do we do, especially from the assessments point of view, Martha?
Yeah. And what is so valuable about the actual job report is that it has questions for you to ask, everybody thinks that is like golden, because you're not having to sit there and think so hard in your preparation for the interview when you have great questions. And each category, whether it's behaviors or motivators or the competencies, have, I don't know, maybe 8 questions that you can choose from. So it's not as if you aren't given enough options to feel like these are going to be valuable questions to get answers from them. And then it's your job. You ask the questions and sit back and observe and take notes and really see how this person's going to be if you work with them on a day-to-day and day-out basis. So all that is very, very helpful. I know some of you do panel interviews. You can use the same type of approach with the panel interviews. Just make sure you're not being redundant with your questioning of the candidates that you're putting through this multiple layered interview process. And then, you know, you can, once the person has been interviewed and qualified, then you can have them to take the TriMetrics DNA and you get their report results. And then you go through and let's say candidate number three is another really good one. So you have them take it. We're not proponents of give God and everybody the opportunity to take this assessment. It's just the people that you feel like are a good fit, skill, knowledge, and overall fit standpoint. And we actually have a couple of reports, right, Cindy, that they can use to compare and contrast these candidates. One of them is a job matching where you can compare one candidate to the other in the same report. And then there's also a comparison report, which we're a real advocate of that, more for the manager and the employee to both take, so that you can understand the new employee can understand what makes their manager tick and how to best communicate to them and all of that.
I think the real takeaway from this candidate matching is that you've got the job profile, your top couple candidates take it, and through the system, we match it up and it spits out what's called a gap report. And we went over this in our podcast, but it shows you where there are gaps. And so when you invite that candidate back for the final round of interviewing, you can do some double checking on those gaps. And their questions, like Martha said, are provided for you. So you can really drill down and see the future, kind of see ahead of time why this person may have scored low on maybe something that you thought was important in their skills. It could be they just don't use it in their current job, or it could mean that's a skill that needs to be developed. So, but you already know ahead of time where you want to drill down, and it might be different for each candidate. So that's the gap report. So our first, our first couple of podcasts were all about the attraction and the selection. And today we're going to focus more on the onboarding. And all along, we're introducing how this TriMetrics DNA assessment can be integrated into this process. So this is not a full lesson on how to onboard, but it's okay. Well, you know, we have our onboarding, we take them to lunch, those kinds of things. But how do you use the assessment when it comes to onboarding? So Martha, why don't you take that one, and then I'll take our next
okay. Okay. Well, yeah. When I think about onboarding, there's always new employee orientation, which kind of gives me the chills, honestly, because it's a part of it, the new employee orientation, but it's not the do-all end-all to getting them onboarded properly. And one of the big things in the onboarding process, from my perspective, is really understanding what is the culture of your team and what is the culture of the business? And you've got policies and procedures that really are a good indicator of culture from my perspective. So they're getting a dose of that when they go through this new employee orientation, and maybe it's the basic HR orientation, but then the manager gets the employee all to themselves and can start talking to them about the team and the role that they're in and how that role fits in with the team. And then what can they do to acculturate this new employee by using that comparison report that they have? Because again, the manager has the inside skinny on where their gaps are, where their skills may be lacking, and where they need to be shored up and have additional training for them and that kind of thing. So we have, again, the gap report, which is really important for the manager to have and to go over with in the very first day or two, when the employee go through their entire TriMetrics DNA report. and be able to talk them through what their strengths are behaviorally or strengths are with their motivators and where what competencies are in the top four, which are their top four and their strengths. And then even get into discussion of where there's some skills that they need to tune up or to acquire. They may not even have them. But, you know, as the leader of that group that has made this decision, maybe the ultimate decision to hire them, you're going to be highly motivated to get them up to speed as quickly as possible. And the other report I referenced to a minute ago is the comparison report, where you have the manager's report on one side. I mean, literally, it's a side-by-side report of the manager's report and the candidate, the new employee's report. And they can see where they may have communication bypasses from time to time and things that they're going to need to be able to do to collaborate better and communicate better with one another. And then we have a team report too. Once we kind of get to that, I guess we can hold that for in just a minute. But that's kind of an overview of the onboarding and really getting that, building that trust with that employee between you as their leader and the employee.
What I found is a lot of times it's a third person that might come in and review that DISC report or that Talent Insights or the TriMetrics DNA. I know you've done that many times in onboarding. So have I. Or maybe it's an HR person that's gone through our training. And so they feel comfortable doing that. But I think so many employers will give this, you know, some kind of assessment to a new employee, even if it's not the same one that we use, which is a great idea to help with hiring, but then they forget to use it. You know, they forget to share it with the employee and they never know, you know, what's gone on with the behind the scenes. So again, we're still working on that exact same report. We're now using it to, as their professional development, go over what is their DISC style. And then as Martha mentioned, that same HR person can be the middleman when you do the manager and the new employee. Sometimes managers are adept at that, going over it, but sometimes it does take a third person to be the neutral person saying, now this person's going to want things really fast. And this person's going to need more time. But what a gift to give your employee in the first day or two of their employment. They already know, okay, when this person comes in and wants something really fast from me, it's not because they don't like me or they don't think I'm fast. They're just always in a hurry, you know? So they can stop wondering, maybe she doesn't like me or any of those things. Some of those fears can go away. So it's great for orientation. And then, you know, we talk about how to use it still in the new hire process for training. I may have mentioned briefly last time, I often take that gap report and I show it to the employee along with the job description. So if I say, you're spot on for these two, you're a little bit off in this, well, you know, we're going to need you to do this X amount of times, whether it's reporting in or compliance or cold calling or whatever it is that might not fit in with their skill set. That's going to help the employee, especially if it's a competency, one that's something that they might need to develop. We'll know right away that they might need some extra help with that. And while competencies seem so important, those can be learned, really. So I would suggest that you match for DISC and Driving Forces, because that's just your inner self. That's
who they are.
And you teach for competencies, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're still important. And if you match all those up, but if you have to choose one over the other, definitely go with, you know, DISC or Driving Forces. Make sure those needs are met. But yeah, knowing also right away, gosh, they want somebody who's really good at understanding others. I'm not great at that. Maybe that's a coaching opportunity for that new employee, you know, to get some exposure in that, because it's going to be really important according to the job profile that we spent so much time doing. And then what about, you know, integrating into the team?
Yeah. That's the fun stuff, right? and always remember that every time you have a team that changes out, one employee changes the dynamics of the whole team. So you're starting all over again in that cycle of storming, norming, performing. I mean, you're starting all over again.
Yeah, it is.
So what can you do about that? And Cindy and I love this feature of all of our reports, which is a success wheel. And on that success wheel, and I'm going to speak to it in terms of a team wheel, so that everybody on the team can see where all of their teammates are. And typically, you know, we're walking them through the report or the wheel and showing them, well, we've got four people up here in this quadrant of dominant and influencer, and we've got three over here that are studies and compliance. And so those two styles actually complement each other really well. Because if that ID or DI has been given a lot of detail to do as a part of their job, they may not be as good at it as that steady and that compliant are at doing that detail work. And as a leader, you're really keeping an eye on that and an eye on kind of team compatibility and looking for where are the places that they may trip up and not get along as well as you would like them to get along. And it happens in every team, but if you have this foreknowledge and you're orienting everybody to this new team member, then hopefully you're warding off any of these kind of clashes that may naturally happen between different styles that are very, very different from one another.
You don't have to wait 90 days to figure out if things are going to work.
No.
It, like I said, before, it's a gift for that employee, but it's also a gift to the team. So they know where, you know, where they stand, how much time do they need to give this new person? Are they willing to step up? Would it embarrass them if we sang happy birthday in front of the whole, you know, company, or are they more, you know, kind of on the down low? So, you know, all those kinds of things, just you get there, but you get there with less mistakes and you get there sooner if you've got this, you know, this manual on how to operate together. It's wonderful.
And, you know, the whole goal, especially in that first, you know, 4 weeks or 6 weeks, is building trust. A manager to employee, but then if this employee is working with a team of three or four, that they really are able to build trust and confidence in one another. And once you have that happening, you're going to get higher levels of performance out of that new person faster, in my opinion.
I'm working with a company now that is really growing. And so their leadership team, these folks have worked with each other for years and years and years, but as they expand, they need to bring in some more people, some professional people who've kind of been in these bigger companies before. And so that kind of rocked the world a little bit, because they know how each other thinks and trust each other. But then when this third guy or fourth guy comes in, you know, they give him the side eye, and there's a wall up, and it takes them a while to get through that. So that was a focus of a lot of conversation. We were just talking about that today. So it's interesting that you brought that up, is that you get this well-oiled machine, you throw another cog in it, and everybody has to adjust it. It takes a while to get back into that, that norming stage, you know?
And you have to be reasonable with what's the digestion rate of this new employee learning all these new things that is an important part of their job. And I just think people need to give them a little grace and be patient and be supportive of them during that time, because to be honest with you, they're very vulnerable when they're brand new.
Yeah.
Just very,
even if they're
very
seasoned
vulnerable.
Veterans, they're still vulnerable to a new spot. And this company, they're big believers in, you know, in this TriMetrics DNA. It helps them, and they're so well versed in it now. When a new person comes in, and I haven't gotten the report yet, I'll say, "What do you think his style is?" And so it starts to make them think. So when they're training this person, you know, sometimes they don't always do it in the right order, and they hire the person. Then we do the disc, but either way, it brings some daylight into how to approach this person. And the sooner you know that about somebody else, the smoother that orientation or onboarding can be. So again, you've got your same assessment for selection. You have your candidate take this. You have it for onboarding. You have it for teaming. You have it for skill development. And it's not a different assessment every time. And next time we come back, you know, we'll talk about how to use that same assessment for employee development and some other things. And
right.
I don't know if we have one more. Excellent. We'll see how much we talk next time, but it's either one or two more segments on this employee life cycle. But at least now we've got them advertised. We've got them interviewed, selected, and hired. And now we've got them successfully.
Now we're going to grow them. Yeah. Grow them.
Let's grow them.
Well, now, technically, we've got engage and retain.
Okay.
And then we have separation.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's
we got to separate them with the, you know, with, if you can, separate them with as much grace and
data.
Care.
Yes.
Bringing them in and as you are letting them go, you know, so you got a reputation to manage out there in the marketplace. Yeah. So it's important.
Can't wait to see how it works out.
Yeah.
All right. Well, alrighty. Short and sweet. But again, go back to DiskyChicks.com. And you can click on any of the links or you can go straight to any of your audio podcasts. Just look for Disky Chicks, follow us, and then you'll get notified every time we drop a new episode. So this is part three of the employee life cycle. And this is how we're starting off 2024. We'll see you
next
time.
Guys. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for listening to the Disky Chicks podcast. Never miss an episode by subscribing today. To learn more or start a conversation with Cindy and Martha, visit the Disky Chicks podcast Facebook page.